in this match.
If it's a war, you can say whatever you want.
I thought it was a cult. I didn't know what was going on.
The Fed did. I think New York did.
One of your executive vice presidents loves that company.
It's the first ever finishing move that's exclusive to a promotion. What is going on? We are fresh off the heels of an exciting NXT TakeOver Vengeance Day.
It was good, wasn't it?
Yeah. And we are also got Elimination Chamber right on the horizon.
And then Evolution the next week, I think.
No, Revolution's March 7th.
Oh. No, there's a week in between. Thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I think 2 weeks after that is fucking
Fastlane. Yeah.
And then two weeks after that is Mania. Jesus fucking Christ.
Busy season.
It is, and we can finally record. There's no snow or pandemic scares this week, so.
Well, I think we're supposed to get snow tonight, but yeah. Silence your goddamn phone.
It's supposed to snow all fucking week, and I hate it.
Yeah, it's depressing.
I've always, as a person who wanted snow, I don't want it anymore.
The snow you want is the booger sugar.
I do not. I already have, I don't need another addiction.
That's true. That is fair.
I'm already addicted to pizza and nicotine, so I don't.
And gambling.
And gambling. Although, I'm done gambling, though.
Although, I saw a tweet that made me think of you that I won't reveal on air.
Oh, show me off air.
I will tell you off air, because...
Does it come from the source where I think it's going to come from?
No, I don't think so. You know the source, but it does not come from the source you think it's going to come from. It comes from an even more depressing source. But anyway, what do we got going on today?
Nothing. We have just some news, and then we'll get into some previews and reviews and... Re-reviews and re-previews. We got a new PC class coming in, and as you said, it's going to be the biggest one ever. 24 people. We know roughly 10 of them right now that are supposedly being there. One debuted last night and at the pay-per-view, which we'll get into for sure. And we're going to talk about Impact's deal with New Japan and how this is going to affect everything with AEW and a couple other promotions around. And the Inner Circle explodes. We'll talk about that in the news. We got a TakeOver review for you, and we will preview Elimination Chamber. So, see you then.
Yeah, stay tuned. So, what do we got to talk about first in the news this week?
The debut of Finjuice and what that could mean for an Impact and New Japan AEW deal. Because it's getting hard to track all this shit right now.
Well, they didn't debut yet. They're coming, though.
They're coming.
Finjuice is coming, which sounds...
A vignette is a debut.
Which sounds... I agree to disagree. I mean, we could debate this all day, but...
We're not going to.
So Lord Tensai debuted when he's still contracted in New Japan.
Yes.
No.
Absolutely.
No.
No. Yes.
Now you're the Zodiac.
But he already debuted. He was fucking Albert.
Now you're the Zodiac.
I'm not the Zodiac. You're the Zodiac. But,
I am... Dude, never call me Brutus Beefcake.
Oh, shit. That was him, wasn't it?
Yes. No.
Oh, God.
Yes. No. Yes. No.
It's like the booyahs and fucking punches. Your flashlight's on. There you go. And so what do you think this could mean for the whole circle of Avengers wrestling people?
It means everyone's working together.
Is it a good thing or bad thing?
I don't see how it could be a bad thing.
No, I agree completely. But what did I say last week? It could go badly. It could go very badly. We already saw a discontinuity of creative and one person refusing to do something.
Yeah, and then they just moved on.
It's just going to be the first, and there's going to be more. But my question is, now that John Moxley's wrestling David Boy Smith Jr. on Impact next, or...
Bloodsport.
On Bloodsport next week.
But he's worked Bloodsport shows before. It's nothing new.
But do you think if he, like, breaks his fucking face, that this works out good for him?
No.
Exactly. Like, I mean, all this is going to go badly. I just see it. But I'm a big fan of Finjuice.
See, all right. We have to have this conversation because this is something I was thinking about the other day.
Yeah, just get me to this conversation because that's something I want to have.
So, WWE, from the fans' perspective, should they work with other companies? Yes.
But
do they have...
Do you think it's fan perspective more at being fans and for dream matches or thinking they should for business? Because that's a very big thing.
Well, that's what I was getting if you didn't fucking...
Oh, I didn't know that's where you were getting. I'm not the fucking... fortune teller.
Well, don't interrupt me and let me get my point out then.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought I asked a very
From a business perspective, a publicly traded company has no reason to work with any, especially when they're the number one wrestling company in the world. Now, Tony Khan, on the other hand, and I don't, when I say this term, I'm not saying it in a disparaging way, but AEW is a passion project. He can afford to take a loss on AEW. So I think Tony Khan is trying to be he's trying to be the goodwill ambassador of pro wrestling. He wants to bring everyone together and make the best pro wrestling he possibly can. Because, you know, if this makes money, it makes more money for the cons, great. If it doesn't, well, if you can afford the Jaguars and Fulham and you invented the replaceable bumper, I think you could afford to take a little bit of a loss.
Is that where they get their money from?
Yes. His dad, Chad Khan, but I guess before, like, he invented the replaceable bumper, if your bumper went, your car was fucked.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's where he got his fortune. He was an engineer from University of Illinois.
Oh, good for him.
Good old Champaign.
Good old Champaign. Great college town.
Yeah. Big Ten.
The best conference.
But yeah, so, like, I think Tony Khan's trying to be, you know, he wants wrestling to be great. Vince wants to make money. That's the difference in their perspectives. And they are at different places in a business sense. And that's why their philosophies are different. Like, it's funny when AEW first started and, like, the hardcore WWE stands I hate that word too. But for lack of a better term, stan, because trust me, I hate that term just as much as you did. But when they're all like, oh, AEW's going out of business, blah, 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 what was everyone's rebuttal? The cons have more money than Vince McMahon, which is undisputedly true, which is why they can afford to do moves like this. Because everyone's like, oh, well, I don't think New Japan is going to grow AEW's audience, because everyone who watches New Japan, most of them watch AEW anyway, which is true. We saw that the Kenta thing didn't really provide the boost they wanted, but also there was an impeachment trial going on. Everything was down, so it wasn't really fair to say. Who knows? So we're not here to debate that. But I'm just saying, like, I don't think this is about moving the needle for Tony Khan. This is about being a goodwill ambassador for wrestling and trying to put on the best product and make the industry better as a whole, whereas Vince would rather the entire industry except WWE die if he had it his way.
Yeah.
And they're just differences in business philosophy.
Both are fine.
And I'm not saying one's right and one's wrong. They're just differences in business philosophy. That's why everyone is like, well, why can't WWE work with New Japan? Because
why would they?
From a financial aspect, it makes no sense. Would I like to see it as a fan? Abso-fucking-lutely. I would love if it was like the territory days where people just like went freely from place to place and we got to see Moxley in WWE 1 month and then AEW the next month and then New Japan the month after that.
You got Moxley in WWE for a couple months.
I was just using an example.
I know. I'm just being a dick.
I know. I was just using an example. You can insert any name here.
There is a certain, I don't want to say nostalgic, but because we weren't alive for the territories. Territories were long dead when we were born. Not a good decade, the territories were dead when we were born.
Yeah.
So, but there is something like that to see just the fresh matchups instead of getting Riddle versus the Hurt Business every fucking week.
God.
Which I'm assuming will happen tonight as well. Yeah. Or last night, depending on what timeline we live in. but yeah, and the fresh faces everywhere. And who doesn't want to see Okada versus Orton? You know what I'm saying? Who doesn't want to see Suzuki versus Rey Mysterio? I don't know.
Suzuki versus Rey Mysterio.
I just thought
so. Out of all the mean guys, you pull out Rey Mysterio.
Tony, they're old. They got to stop and to do things.
I hate that you're so hung up on that.
I'm not hung up on it. I like talking about it. It makes me funny. But it is just an idiotic take. It's an idiotic take. If you have that take,
I don't necessarily think it's an idiotic take. I just don't think it's as. I mean, it's a problem. I don't think it's as big of a problem as
It's a wrestling problem. It's not a WWE problem.
No, it is a WWE problem.
No, it isn't.
It is.
Drew McIntyre is the youngest world champion in the world.
Yes, but, like, who's in their 20s that WWE's pushing in the main event?
Who's in their 20s anybody's pushing?
MJF.
Deservedly so.
We went over the whole list last week.
Yeah, we did, but it's just... Yeah, I'm not getting into this again.
Fucking Jay White in New Japan. Every company has at least one young guy that they're
Adam pushing. Adam Cole, 26.
Yeah, he's on the developmental brand, quote-unquote.
He's pushed more than 3/4 of my main roster.
But, like, that's the big debate. Like, what is being pushed in NXT?
Yeah, fair enough. What is being pushed? What the fuck is a push?
Stop it. But it's a trust issue on WWE's part.
Yeah, I don't want to get into this again, but so what do you think this means for Impact? And because that was a very fractured, that was a fractured door. That wasn't a forbidden door. That door did not exist.
Did you see Tony Khan's promo where he said he swings both ways? I don't think he meant to verbalize it like that. But anyway, so I guess the repair started when the Good Brothers signed with Impact. So this was like pre-Tony Khan getting involved even. Because obviously the Good Brothers want to work in Japan too. So that started talks between the two starting to get better. And then once Tony Khan got working with Impact and then they worked out the deal with AEW, Impact, and New Japan, it just became a nice free-flowing deal. So yeah, we got Finn Juice coming to Impact. Dave Meltzer reported that Okada is coming, and he's not coming alone. But obviously that won't be until quarantine and pandemics are lifted.
Which Korea do you think they're going to have the WCW, the AEW versus New Japan Pro Wrestling in?
The non-communist one.
Fair enough.
Would be my guess.
I mean, that's the obvious answer, but I bet underdogs always.
Yeah, that's true.
That would be something. What would this podcast be like?
You know what? If they penetrated the good old Republic, they deserve all the praise in the world.
The praise?
Yeah, if they were able to put on a show there and like and nobody died, I would praise the hell out of them. Are you kidding me?
Okay.
Dude, like, I'm not fucking going over there. Are you kidding me?
Either. They shoot people, like, just trying to leave.
Yeah.
But that's about it. So who would you like to see from New Japan in Impact?
In Impact?
Or wrestle? Was there a match you would want to see?
I'd like to see Chris Bay compete in Best of Super Juniors.
Oh, that's a great answer.
Yeah.
An absolute great answer.
That would be my choice.
So up next, we have the Inner Circle exploding last Wednesday on Dynamite. What you think? Did the right person go?
We still got to see how it plays out.
Yeah, I'm not making any... thing, yeah. But it just we have to acknowledge that it did happen. It's probably the biggest faction. I hate that word too. Faction on AEW. It's the only one really. And
I mean, everyone's in a fucking faction.
Yeah, you're right. And Cody has like 80 people in his. So I mean,
I just thought it was weird how Sammy's the one that asked the camera guy to stay, and then like he started freaking out when he thought MJF was recording him because like. Dude, you told the cameraman to stay. Yeah, have the whole thing.
It was very weirdly put together.
Yeah, and
but do you think this leads to a Sammy babyface run or? Because I don't think that's a great idea.
Why? I think he'd be.
I think he's a phenomenal heel.
But he wrestles like a babyface.
Very hateable. But so does everybody. Everybody but Walter wrestles like a babyface.
MJF doesn't wrestle like a babyface.
Everybody but Walter and MJF
wrestle. Jericho doesn't wrestle like a babyface.
Jericho doesn't wrestle anymore.
You're a little too harsh on Chris.
I know, but it's fun to be harsh on Chris.
I know. I know you enjoy calling him fat.
Yeah, I like to on the heel chew on the other foot once in a while.
But I don't know. I think babyface Sammy could be fun.
I mean, I think he's great. I think he's one of the best young guys they have there, and he might be more the future than a lot of people think he is.
And like, AEW doesn't really have defined babyfaces and heels anyway, so it like. I don't know. Like, the whole thing's just weird. Like, they're all wrestling each other, and now...
It's hard to keep track of.
Yeah.
Thank God they have the records, though.
Stop it.
I'm telling you. I check them every day. No, you don't. They tell me who wins.
No, you don't.
I don't know who's wins. I just know Peter Avalon doesn't. The first thing I do when I get up is I have a cup of coffee, I read the paper, and I look up the AEW records.
You're such a cocksucker.
I'm not.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
I'm not, the records are hysterical. Come on, say it once with me.
I don't know. They're useless, but...
They're useless, but it was a good idea, but it's never... I just think it proved that you couldn't have them. And have it work. Have it make sense.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like... They kind of failed. Like not to AEW's fault, but they kind of failed. But it's one of those things where, like, they just don't want to admit it, so yeah. they're just keeping them up.
Yeah, that's true. You just can't have ratings. You can't have records like that. Because it doesn't matter.
No, it matters. But it's like, if you're going to have rankings, why are we doing giant number one contender battle royals?
Yeah.
Isn't that what the rankings are for?
Fair enough. But...
I don't know. What do you think of the Inner Circle splitting? You ask me, what's your opinion?
Too early?
Too early?
Well, I mean, too early to the MJF stuff.
How but like, what else could you do to drag it out?
You're right. No, you're absolutely right. Do you think he takes anybody with him? Does he take Swagger with him?
I hope not. I hope no one takes Swagger anywhere.
Me neither, but do you think it happens?
I think this ends up with MJF taking over the group, and Jericho is ousted, and Sammy and Jericho fight them as the babyfaces.
Yeah, I could definitely see that happening.
I kind of think that's where it's headed.
And that's a perfectly fine way to do it. Get Jericho out of the top of the card.
Maybe
not saying that he doesn't belong there, but I would like to see some other people there once in a while.
Jericho hasn't been in many main events since he lost the title.
But he's the main event segment of the show, always.
Is he?
I mean, once again, not on last doesn't mean necessarily the main event, but like he is the focus storyline.
So you're talking about semantics now?
Yes. Am I wrong?
I feel like Kenny Omega has been the focus since he won the title.
He has, but for the whole like life of the promotion, it's been Jericho.
I feel like,
and it should be, but I think
it's a good way. I don't necessarily agree with that,
but I think Jericho could take a step back now, if that's fair to say.
I think he's kind of already done. He's feuded with Orange Cassidy, and MJ.
Orange Cassidy's the best wrestler in the world, if you ask some of these people.
I like Orange Cassidy.
I do too.
But I don't think Orange Cassidy will ever be AEW champion.
Yes, he will.
I don't think so.
Yes, he will.
TNT champion, probably. I don't.
You know he'll have a reign with that run with that title.
I don't. They've only had three champions. Like, they're pretty good with keeping that belt protected.
For now.
What have they done that makes you think it won't stay that way?
I just mean there's a lot of people there, and once they run out of these top guys to put the belt on, who do you give it to? Orange Cassidy, the most popular.
They sign more top guys that are disgruntled.
No, I'm not. I think you're taking it wrong than I am. I just think he will be champion one day. Even if it's for a night.
I don't. Whatever. I'm not going to argue with you, but.
Yeah, I just think it's a little early. But up next, we have, right before we get into talking about NXT TakeOver, Valentine's Day, Vengeance Day, whatever it was.
Vengeance Day, there you go,
bud. The new PC class coming, and it's gigantic.
Yeah. So, run down some names.
So far, we had Eli Drake, who debuted last night. We'll get more on that later. Blake Christensen, Christian Castanova, Harlem Bravado, Parker Verdome, Minnie Lesnar, Bronson Ricksteiner, the son of Rick Steiner. That's going to be fun to say over the next couple years. And he's been training. He's been wrestling a lot, I believe, recently.
Well, I know he was in training camp with the Ravens, and then he didn't make the team. So I think he turned to wrestling after that. Yeah.
And you know what? Good for him.
Yeah.
Good. I mean, the Steiners are probably underrated wrestlers in the whole scheme of things.
He was like the best fullback in Division II, for whatever that's worth.
Wait a minute. Is there a more useless title than best fullback in Division II? Are you fucking kidding me?
Maybe it was Division One Double A. It might have been Division One Double A.
That okay. So
the Wentz Division.
Yeah, the North Dakota State Division.
Yeah, yeah.
They draft a replacement and you turn into a head case division.
Oh God.
But
although I have an analogy later that might piss you off when we talk about Elimination Chamber.
Will it piss me off?
You'll either get a chuckle out of it or it'll piss you off, and I'm not sure which.
I'm looking forward to it.
You'll probably get a chuckle out of it, honestly.
Looking forward to it.
It's not. You'll see.
But the star of the class seems to be Taya Valkyrie. It's been far too long for her to come here, and I think it's the right move for her. Especially with AEW going into the Joshi scene.
All right, Cornette.
Why? There's a ton of women over there. That's not what I'm saying. I think it's good, but I just don't think there's a spot for her there.
There'd be a spot for her there. You kidding me? There'd be a spot for her there.
And she wants to work with her husband.
Well, yeah, obviously. I'm not saying she shouldn't have went to...
But no, you took my comment the wrong way, but they're obviously going into the Joshi scene.
They've always been in the Joshi scene.
But they're holding a tournament in Japan. They're more into the Joshi scene now than they've ever been.
Half of those people were already... Aja Kong, Sakura, half those people already made appearances for AEW. They're bringing in, like, three new people.
I guess that's true.
Like, they've been in the Joshi scene.
But
only reason,
and that's fine. That's
only reason
fine.
The tournament's in Japan is because we're
can't get over here.
Yeah, unless you're Riho.
And that she has to live here at this point, right?
Well, she's going to. I assume she's going to now because she can't work Stardom anymore because AEW pulled that. But then WWE tells Kairi Sane she can't go to Stardom, and it's World War III.
Fun. Yeah.
Never mind.
No, it's true.
No, it's not true.
It is.
It's different. It's different.
It's not.
It is. Kyrie Sane wasn't trying to wrestle there. She was trying to make an appearance, and they shut that down.
But once again, business philosophy. We talked about that earlier. But do you think Taya Valkyrie goes to NXT or comes right up?
She goes NXT.
Right up? And do you think, what's her ceiling? She's, I mean, she is old.
Stop.
No, not what I'm saying. Not what I'm saying. She is older. That is a fact. She's 37. But that's just a weird time to start fresh with a company.
Not really. I mean,
AJ Styles did, but
Thatcher's up there.
But I'm telling you what the mood is out there now.
I don't give a fuck about the mood.
It is, but I think she has a very. She can. I think she can have a hell of a run.
The thing with the NXT Women's Division is like, it's so crowded. You never know who's gonna get a push. It feels like a lot of people in the NXT Women's Division are stop and start.
Yeah.
It kind of feels like.
Well, I mean, you had two kind of top people there for a while.
Yeah, Shayna Baszler and Asuka ran that division for three years.
And then Rhea did it.
She had the title for like 3 months. I don't, but
she was still a top dog. She was Bianca was up on top, more top of the card for a while. First singles matches. And I tell you what, I think it's going to happen again with Raquel. Thank you. I couldn't say
it. There you go.
But because I'll give her a ton of praises after in the next segment. But I think she can do it, and that division needs to be built up again. So I'm glad she's there.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think she could have a good run. It'll be interesting to see how long they keep her around NXT, because it's weird. Like, I feel like both main roster women's division are lacking, but I think that's more booking than talent. Like, I like the Sasha Carmella stuff, but it's kind of lingered around for so long. Clearly,
they're letting a story linger around for so long. It's just so unlike them.
Stop it.
It is. I'm just making an analogy. It's true. They do everything forever.
The internet gets you too mad.
That's my opinion. It's not the internet's opinion. Do they not do something forever?
Yes, but not in the way you'd like them to do things forever.
No, I agree. And you're right. It's not a lack of talent on the main roster.
Like, the Raw Women's Division, Asuka, granted, she is defending the title on pay-per-view this Sunday. But before that,
I think it's...
Do you know the last time she defended the title on pay-per-view?
Payback?
September, Clash of Champions, against Zelina Vega, who isn't even in the company anymore.
Jesus. Oh, you know what? Think of the tag teams offering now so they can focus on that storyline. Wherever that's going. Because I don't know.
You know what? I think people aren't going to like where it's going. Is it
going where the obvious one, where it's obviously going?
I think it's going Asuka's going to get fucked right before WrestleMania again.
Oh.
Because I think we may be headed to Lacey Charlotte over Rick with the title in the middle.
Oh.
I hope...
Are we getting a Ric Flair in a Shark Cage match?
I hope not. That man does not need to be elevated. I hope I'm wrong, but...
I mean, the obvious right thing to do is for Asuka to get the win back, right?
That would make the most sense.
Yeah, right? And even if you want to see her, you can complain all you want about having her in Charlotte again, but... And Charlotte being on top of the card, even though she's the best woman wrestler ever. But that makes the most sense, right? Asuka getting the win back from WrestleMania.
I'd like them to push someone new, but that's probably what they would do. I mean, I just want... I'd rather Asuka have a... I guess Charlotte would be a meeting... I just want Asuka to have a meaningful WrestleMania match. I don't care what the circumstances are. I don't care who
it miss
is.
NXT Asuka.
She just feels like such an afterthought. Like,
yeah. And I miss NXT Asuka. She was absolutely not an afterthought in NXT.
No, not at all. She was a killer.
You know, who did she wrestle when we saw her in Philly? Was it Bayley?
In Philly?
For NXT TakeOver Philly.
She won the Royal Rumble that weekend, pal.
She did.
She was on the main roster by then.
But yeah, you're right. Wait, hold on.
Ember and Shayna.
Ember and Shayna. You're right. I'm sorry. I saw her wrestle someone. Shit, who was it?
I don't know.
And I don't remember. Was she on either of those tours that we saw?
I think she was gone by both of them.
Yeah. Jesus. I don't know. I don't know what I thought of, by the way.
I might have been Kyrie. Could have been.
Because we saw Kyrie beat Shayna in New York, didn't we?
Yes. And then
Brooklyn, that was Brooklyn 3, not New York.
And then we saw Shayna beat Kyrie back at Evolution, which was also in New York.
Oh, that was in Long Island.
Still New York.
Is it? I don't even know. Is it what state? Is it New York State?
Yes. Okay. I didn't. Where did she think it was? New Jersey. I don't
know, New Jersey's surrounds all of New York.
You thought Zack Ryder was from New Jersey?
He's the most New Jersey person in history. He is the most South Jersey Italian I've ever seen in my life.
Oh man!
And I know a lot of South Jersey Italians.
Yeah.
Yes.
You in the mob?
My father's a South Jersey Italian. He was born in Brunswick.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's not great. Thank God I'm not a Rutgers fan. Thank God they got out of there quickly. Oof.
That'd be rough times.
But that's the PC class. Anybody you're perfectly excited about?
I'm excited to see what Eli Drake can do.
I mean, he's established, so we've seen him. I think he's great.
Yeah. Blake Christensen was a highly sought-after guy. Him and Alex Zane had some really good matches. Alex Zane is yet to come on the scene in NXT. Maybe they'll come on the scene together as a tag team.
Harlem Bravado was trained by Delirious and had some decent matches there.
Yeah, he was.
And what do you think of the Birdo signing?
It's got potential.
Is that just worth the risk? Let's sign some clay and see if we can turn it into.
It's worth the risk.
I mean, he's got a hell of a look.
The guy wanted to be there. He's been tweeting about it for legitimately years.
Yeah.
Finding someone that wants to work for the WWE and looks like that, yeah, it's worth the try.
Yeah, so that's just let's see if we can turn this clay into something.
I think it's the same thing with Rick Steiner's kid. I mean, a little different because he has it in his blood.
Yeah.
But we've seen with guys like David Flair, that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
But I think he's in the right place to train.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. It's not like the WWE PC is this reputation of pushing out guys.
Not anymore.
I don't think it ever has. I mean, Braun.
Braun Shayna.
Shayna? Shayna wrestled in the Indies for 5 years.
Oh, yeah, she did. Bailey. No, she wrestled in the Indies, too.
Yeah. They haven't really pushed out
Charlotte.
Anyone. Charlotte. That's another... That if he turns out like Charlotte, it'd be because he has it in the blood.
Yeah.
PC... I hope Birdo's successful because the PC needs to turn someone out.
They do. You're absolutely right.
I mean,
they tweaked these people coming in from the indies.
Dude.
But
the Nightmare Factory is like a half a year old. It's already turned out like 8 prospects that look really good.
Yeah, but it's not how many fresh faces are showing up to the PC, though? Are they just signing indie talent that already have experience, that already, you know what I'm saying?
They signed a lot of that dude that threw me in New Orleans that played in the NFL, they signed him. I haven't seen him do anything yet.
Almost.
But to be fair, he's just kind of on TV. We don't really know.
He threw one of the best kicks I've ever seen in my life.
It's what, the guitar kick?
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
But like, again, he's 7'6". How much could you teach him to do?
Gulak's working on it, baby. Don't worry.
Is that... Oh, I guess so, right?
Gulak and Pierce are in the big man class, which is...
Is that still going on?
I don't know.
Is Keith Lee still having the train?
I hope so.
He's probably out for Raw tonight, isn't he?
Who?
Keith Lee.
Yeah.
Probably. He's not going to be there.
Why?
Was he there last week?
Yeah.
I didn't watch Raw last week. I fell asleep like 7 o'clock.
Yeah, he's in a U.S. title match on Sunday.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. He's turning heel.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, absolutely is. And it's what he should do.
Well, we'll get into it because.
I think he should do it first, but we'll get into that. Up next, we'll talk about NXT TakeOver Vengeance Day. See you in just 1 second.
NXT TakeOver Vengeance Day took place this past Sunday evening. First of all, I want to talk about everyone thinks WWE is out of touch with their audience. They had the incredible foresight to put a show on Valentine's Day because they knew none of their audience would be busy.
It's more Vengeance Day than Valentine's Day Massacre for a lot of wrestling
fans.
They
knew none of their audience would be busy at all.
No one had plans
on February 14th.
It's so sad.
Everyone would be in front of the TV screen.
Oh man, that is just self-awareness in its best form.
Don't say they don't know their audience because they knew what they were doing.
The only thing better is if Revolution was that day. I would have a fucking field day, Tony.
Stop.
You know how I would drink 7 cups of coffee and come on this podcast and enjoy my life.
Although I do have a friend who moved his Valentine's Day plans around to watch his show.
Who is that?
Leak.
Awesome. Good for him.
Yeah.
Stay true.
So should we get into what happened on the pre-show first?
We should.
I guess that would make sense. So, Brandon Walker from Barstool, Sam Roberts, and Wade Barrett are all talking about something.
A decent. Like I said, Brandon Walker did pretty good.
He knew his role.
Yeah, he was there to be Internet Mark, and he was Internet Mark.
And like, he wasn't Internet Mark in like a self righteous way.
No. He was like, I'm a dumb internet wrestling fan idiot.
Yeah, he wasn't. He was playing the role of a dumb wrestling internet.
And he played it well.
Yeah, he did. He did. Yeah, I never listened to his podcast, but I'm going to now.
What is it called? Because he
wrestling with an R.
Because he was the Barstool guy, wasn't he?
I know Robbie Fox had a Barstool wrestling podcast.
Over the top rope.
I think it was something like that.
Yeah, it was something around
those lines. I didn't know they got another one, but apparently they did, and it's called Wrestling. And that guy came off very well in his role to me, so I'm going to listen to his podcast.
Yeah, I thought he was good. He dressed like a wrestling fan.
And apparently he also covers the SEC, so. I'm not an SEC guy.
No, I hate the SEC.
Why?
Oh, look at all the recruits. Oh, let's put all of our teams in the national championship.
I mean, I bet you if you look at NFL draft class by conference, there are...
B-I-double-T, baby. Well, yeah, they just turn out... Well, they have factories like Alabama and LSU, but then they also have the Vanderbilts and the fucking Citadel in Kentucky.
I don't think the Citadel's in the SEC.
It might as... They all play... They play the SEC.
They all do play
every,
the Citadel.
Every SEC team plays the Citadel every
fair.
Fucking year.
That is fair.
They play the Citadel.
That is fair. Listen, back when NCAA football was a thing, glad it's coming back, by the way.
Yeah.
Although it's college football now, not getting that.
Good.
It's...
Get rid of the NCAA completely.
Yeah, I agree, but I digress. I always used to do dynasties with the Citadel, and I'd take them to the top.
I was always really bad at the game, so I'd always do my combine and get put down to Southern or Vanderbilt, because I was like, oh, I'd be cool and be a defensive end. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
What I don't like about the SEC is they complain about not playing Big Ten teams. When I challenge them, I am calling you, Nick Saban, because I know you listen to this podcast. Come to Columbus or Ann Arbor or State College or Lansing after November, and we'll see you as Cox. Anybody could be good in 70-degree weather in November. Wait for it to come to the fucking snow. Rant over.
I'd have a response, but I don't want to get too much off topic.
Oh, no. God, hit me with it.
No, it's just like...
Because I miss college football, and I would have liked to go.
But they don't have to. Like,
they don't have to.
Why would they?
I don't know why they won't work with the other conferences. Open the forbidden door, goddammit. Come to State College with 107,000 people screaming in your face in November when there's a possibility of snow.
Although, I saw a tweet, and I don't think it was like as funny as I thought it was, but I was drinking a little bit, so I thought it was really funny. And it was like it said the real forbidden door, and it was Aleister Black's like locker room when he just sat in that room for like months.
Although Auburn is coming to State College next year.
I'm trying to change the subject
in September
to get off.
Yes, but you're right. Let's continue.
So, the artist formerly known as Eli Drake came up and cut a good promo, as he's one to do, and he is now known as I want to say L.A. Park, and it's going to take everything in my head not to say L.A. Park. but he is a knight, not a park. He is L.A. Knight now.
Well, what if it's, like, short for a name? What if it's, like, Lance Armstrong Knight?
He's Lance Armstrong.
It would take a lot of balls to do that. It would take...
Just one. I'm not as tied up with the name as other people are. Does the name suck? Yes. But they also have a guy in the roster named Wes Lee who put on a fucking incredible match. So
yeah, it does. Like, if he's great and he's on and he's cutting these promos at WrestleMania in LA, it's a complete win.
Yeah.
And I think he'll fit in there nice. He cut a great promo.
That was going to be the next question. Because we've seen the comparisons to EC3, who didn't do well in NXT or the main roster. Do you think...
Or anywhere else.
He had a good run in Impact.
He did. But after that run, he's Mr. Mid-Card Heel.
Your hatred for EC3 is just so...
Because he's not good, Tony. Christ almighty. I remember we were at...
I can never forget.
And everyone's like, he should be the champ. I go, why?
No, that one
the,
guy...
The other guy is with
he
us.
He hated EC3.
Yeah, because all he does is DVDs.
No, don't group me in. Don't group me in with that guy. I don't dislike EC3, but I don't like him either.
No, I don't like him either. I just think...
You hate EC3.
I don't hate
him. You've been on a warpath against EC3 for years.
It's once again the fans. I don't hate him.
He's a serviceable worker and a good promo.
Every single fan that says, I don't know why this guy's not great. He's at the top of Impact. I could be the top of Impact at that time. At that time, yes, I could have. But But yeah, he's a decent pro wrestler with that cuts a good promo. Everybody thought he was the next Hulk fucking Hogan. And guess what? He wasn't. He can hold a good match and he can cut a promo, but he's not going anywhere near the top of the card, nor should he. But Eli Drake, I think, is a better promo and he's a better wrestler. And I think this is a different time for NXT. And if EC3 came in now, he'd be more welcome.
The strange things you get passionate about baffle me.
I know.
Like, we will talk about something that's like legitimately exciting and you will not give one shit. But we talk about... You made me get the age of every person on the AEW show last week.
Oh, that's the top of my passion. Passionate.
I know. Every time we're talking about a wrestler, you bring up their age now.
Yeah, well, so does everybody else. So don't yell at me.
So the opener, the finals.
But yes, he'll be fine there.
Of the Women's Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, where the winners receive a future Women's Tag Team title match. So in 17 minutes and 40 seconds, Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez defeated Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart. Give me your take.
Tale of two matches. I think the right people won for sure.
Oh,
I think
the right team won over.
I think Raquel looked great. Because she's coming along on her own, and she's going to be a star. I'll tell you that much. She's got the ever-escapable it, is what I texted you last night. This match got lost in the middle, though. It got a little lost.
So I do want to say something, and I hate saying... I don't know about you, but like I never feel comfortable criticizing wrestlers because like I've never done it. Like I have no problem criticizing booking because I think I could book a show. I really? I don't know. Yeah. But I think I can.
Yeah, I can't do what they're doing in-ring.
But Shotzi is sloppy and almost borderline dangerous. I don't feel comfortable saying that, but like...
Yeah, going back to your original point, I think me and you especially has seen enough to know what's good and what's not.
Yeah, but like, I just hate the people, like, there are certain people in the wrestling fan community that will act like they are fucking Nature Boy Buddy Rogers critiquing in-ring work. When, like, I don't feel comfortable critiquing entering work like that because I've never done it. Yeah. Like, I know what's a good match and what's a bad match, but that's not what I'm saying about Shotzi. What I'm saying is I'm scared she's going to hurt somebody.
Yeah, but it's obvious. Like, you could see it. She is sloppy. She really, really needs to work on that because I think it was you who brought it up last night. She could be a star on SmackDown or Raw.
Her character's perfect. She has charisma. She has everything down except...
The wrestling.
Yes, which is in professional wrestling. It's kind
of... Yeah, but I agree. But she was in there with Ember, so she kind of hit some of that stuff.
Yeah, I think a tag team with Ember is a perfect role for her right now because she could continue to work on it and not have to worry about putting together singles matches. And I think her and Ember are a good team that I necessarily didn't think would be a good team going in, but it worked. Absolutely the right team went over. You know I've been saying on this podcast forever, put the belts on Dakota and Raquel. I think having the women's tag team titles in NXT could do more for not only those two girls, but those titles than anything has in the main roster.
Yes, because those titles mean nothing. Now that we had an actual tournament for them,
like
and an actual like Shawn and Diesel type kind of team.
Let's go through the women's tag team title history. First champs, Boss and Hug Connection, legitimate tag team. Second champs, Iconics, legitimate tag team. Third champs, Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss, pseudo legitimate tag team.
A step
team.
In the other direction, though.
Yes. Kabuki Warriors, they let's call a spade, they put two Asian women together.
Yeah.
Were they great together? Absolutely. But they just put two Asian women together.
They took
for
two singles wrestlers together. Yes. And it worked. So, like, I can't... Because they were great. Because Kyrie was phenomenal towards the end
of that. Yes, absolutely. It worked, but... That's not
like
necessarily...
I like to think of her sneaking around the ring in the Becky signing. With the umbrella.
Yes. Then Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross again.
By this time, are legitimate tag team.
Yeah, I'll give them... By the second reign, yeah. Then Boston Hug again. Legitimate tag team, but the titles were props in the breakup.
Yes.
That's what they were.
And that's where it started going south. Because
I don't think it was ever going north.
You're right.
I don't think it was ever going
north. You know
what
north. I mean, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, those titles were only on them to get them to the breakup.
Yeah.
Which, kind of get. But, and now Charlotte and Asuka was just thrown together.
Don't forget Shayna and Nia.
Shayna and Nia, thrown together. Charlotte and Asuka, thrown together.
Even more thrown together. Yeah. And now Shayna and Nia again.
Yeah.
Let's let's put these titles on a legitimate team in a brand that could use it, because NXT certainly could use it. I hope they have this match at Mania. I doubt they will. It'll probably be on an episode of NXT because maybe they think it'll pop a rating. But I'd like to see this match at Mania.
And put it on them.
Yes, please put it on Dakota.
Let Raquel run wild.
Yes.
On Shayna and Nia.
Yes.
But I agree completely. Good match, though. I thought some of the stuff was great. Ember almost killed herself on one of the dives.
Yeah.
But I think that was more on Raquel not being there. Raquel needs some... I can't get that cue out of my head.
Raquel
needs some work. I don't think anybody's saying she doesn't. Once again, tricking regulars, but...
Once again, perfect place being in a tag team for now.
Yeah. I think and Dakota's good enough for her to get her over until she's ready. But Raquel still misses a step here or there.
Yeah.
But it's there. The whole package is there.
And, of course, they celebrate it, and I think there was more confetti for the celebration than there was in the Super Bowl. But I liked it. Make it a big deal.
Yes, those titles need some credibility. That division needs some credibility. Because it has none right now. You have Nia Jax talking about her fucking asshole on Raw.
And you know that's going to be a thing now.
I know. It's just going to be a shirt that says my hole.
But the weird thing is, they edited it out of the Raw broadcast on Hulu. But then they showed a replay of it on SmackDown, and they were making fun of her. Which I think we might be getting Bianca and Sasha versus Shayna and Nia on Sunday. Because Bianca and Sasha beat up Shayna and Nia, and they had some really fun double-team moves.
That I'm okay with that.
But once again, fucking two women using the women's tag team titles to further... Well, we don't know. Bianca hasn't officially picked yet, but she's picking Sasha.
Yes.
So, two but women...
What if they did that Smash Sunday? Too soon?
I guess it would work, but I kind of would want them to make it a little bit more of a big deal. And just like, hey, here's your title match. But we'll see where it goes. I suspect it'll be on an episode of NXT. Maybe they think they'll pop a rating. I don't think they're going to put the belts on them, but I really hope they do. Because NXT could use these belts. And you know what? It'll get Dakota and Raquel some main roster exposure if they go and defend them on Raw and SmackDown a couple times.
Yeah, and Raquel can use it.
I think it's a win-win-win. No matter what, got money on my mind. I can never get enough.
Yeah.
Every time I step in the building, everybody's hands go up.
Stop. Right now.
And they stay there. Up next, I think either the second match or the third match, I think what everyone will probably, and the main event too. I think those are the three match of the night contenders, but we'll start
with... I think there's only one match of the night contender.
A lot of people like that main event.
And I liked the main event too. Thought it was great. Thought this kicked its ass.
See, I'm torn on this one. I liked it a lot, but there were too many false finishes.
There was. It was. We have 24-51.
24-51.
7 minutes too long, but the last 7 minutes was awesome.
Gargano defeats Kushida to retain the... And I also had a little bit of an issue with the finish, but we'll get there. So, I guess we gotta start in the pre-match.
This is the reason we're so late recording. We watched this like 45 times.
We did. So the way you're having a pre-match huddle.
I hate that I love this Johnny Gargano.
I hate that I love this faction. They literally... Now we're backtracking all the way to Christmas. But Johnny gave Indy a PS5 box that was empty. And said, your real gift is... You have the wrestling nickname now. You are indie wrestling. We support indie wrestling.
And they used like old ass footage.
And indie wrestling popped up on the screen in like white font with like a sparkle effect. We support indie wrestling.
Oh my god.
This entire group I should hate, but I love it.
In theory, he's an idiot.
Johnny Gargano is in a wheelchair for a broken arm.
A fake broken arm. The wheelchair bump was outstanding.
Yeah, I did the Bret Hart wheelchair bump. It was awesome.
And it was better than the Bret Hart wheelchair bump. It actually made TV.
Your hatred for Bret. It's another thing I don't understand.
I don't hate Bret Hart. He's one of the 50 to 100 greatest wrestlers of all time. In between Rhino and Goldust.
I gotta know who he's in front of and who he's in back of.
Rhino and Goldust.
So he's in front of Rhino but behind Goldust.
Yes.
Okay.
No, I'm just saying, that didn't make TV the first time, right? They fucked it up, right?
I know, yeah.
That's what I'm just saying.
But that was Brett being a prick because he didn't like Sean.
Yeah. And you want me to like this man?
Well, I'm sure
HBK is your favorite wrestler. You should be angry about it than I am.
If I had to do 1997 Shawn Michaels, I'd probably be a prick too.
Yeah, but if I would be a prick if I was Shawn Michaels, if I had to deal with 1997 Bret Hart.
Bret Hart didn't.
All right. Coming through with a Canadian flag, he's a fucking cape because he's a Canadian superhero. Good wrestler.
I almost beat Kushida.
All right, continue with this pre-match. You got to get there, please.
So Kushida worked over the arm.
No. We had to have a pre-match.
Oh, shit. We didn't even get there. All right. So they're doing a huddle like they're about to fight. They're the fucking 16 seed about to play Duke in March Madness.
Yeah, they were just Lehigh. Getting ready to...
Who is CJ McCollum? I guess it's got to be Gargano.
Yes.
But anyway... As they break their huddle and start walking towards Gorilla, they're just followed. I can't do
it. Loomis had to be right next to them, because the minute they turn and get in frame to walk out to the ring, Loomis is already walking behind
He's just
them,
behind.
And he chloroforms. This guy's a babyface. He chloroforms Austin Theory, who did an excellent sell job getting chloroformed.
Oh, dude, he just vanished. Fucking Loomis pulled him to the left, and he just vanished.
And then they went out, and then Johnny went for the way high five.
And he just wasn't there.
Theory was not there, and Johnny got concerned.
And he sent Indy and Candace to look for him, and we haven't seen any of them since.
Yes, well, I mean, it's Monday. Why would we see them?
Twitter? I don't know.
Yeah, fair. Continue.
So, yes... Now the match finally starts. Also, speaking of the Big Ten, what did you think of Johnny Gargano's Michigan Wolverines gear?
Hate it. Very heelish.
Which I think it was X-Men inspired, but...
It was.
I like it better to piss you off, the fact that it was... speaking of piss you off, the next match we got a lot of attire quirks in this review. Kushida starts working over the arm.
He worked over the arm the entire match, which was cool.
That's kind of a shticked. Yeah. Shticked. I don't think that's the word. I that was a Tazism right there. I'm going to start saying yambag next. Speaking of Taz, did you see the video where it was like, my balls, my vag,
yeah.
My he goes, Taz, my balls. And Taz goes, I know, bully. It's awesome. Oh, Taz is awesome.
I also saw one that was, my balls, my vag, my hole. It's Taz.
I did not see that
one. It was awesome.
Anyway, the smash ruled.
It did.
We're not doing it justice. We're talking about everything but this match.
Yeah, it was absolutely outstanding. Just shows you how good, though, these two guys are. He is Johnny Takeover. I don't think anybody's saying that wrongly now. I mean, we've seen him in awesome matches in Takeover. You saw the entire trilogy with
him and Cole.
You?
Yeah, I did.
And you saw the entire trilogy with him and...
No, I missed the one in Chicago.
Oh, right. Okay.
I saw two out of three.
And we saw the greatest match in NXT history, which was him and Almas. To this day, still the best match in NXT history. But Johnny's just amazing. And this was Kushida's best match here. This was better than the match with Walter. He got a lot of shine. He worked over that arm the entire second half of this match.
Yeah.
He did the
Muda clothesline spot that Muda did with Hogan, except instead of a clothesline, he fucking punted Johnny Gargano.
I looked down for a minute at my phone, and then Kushida wasn't there.
Yeah, he was just
and then,
gone.
And then he was gone. He comes running down the ring.
A fucking sprinting Kushida.
I mean, he had to save some people.
Hoverboard locks, Sakuraba lock from the top rope. That's always hammer lock suplexes, which I would never. I'd be so scared to take that move
from the top rope as well.
Yeah, I'd be so scared to take that move.
And I think he had to be trusted because
you gotta.
They both seem they like we. Shoot respected each other. They both loved that match.
Well, Kushida, you sent me the tweet. Kushida said like one of the reasons he came here was to wrestle Gargano,
and it was awesome. I hope he doesn't go away now.
So my major nitpicks with the match: too many false finishes. I know it's the NXT style. It is what it is. It's one of the things you got to deal with. But I just thought there were too many. There were about six times I'm like, all right, this has to be it. One or two false finishes, fine,
necessary.
But six or seven, a little bit overkill. And then Johnny just being able to do two final beats after his arm was, like, massacred.
Wrestling 2021.
I know. It's one of those things, like, it doesn't take away from the match, but it's just kind of nitpicks, I guess. But love the match. Probably my favorite match of the show.
It is my favorite match of the show. And I did... The last three matches, hold the women's match. That was just a strange match.
Well, we'll get there.
Yeah, that was just a strange match. But the final, the men's Dusty, that match and the title match were all excellent.
I thought the opener was really good, too.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. I think I tweeted from our account last night. Match quality, very good on the show.
Yeah.
But it's an NXT show. They're always going to be good.
So, let's go. Do you want to see a Loomis Gargano feud for the North American title? Because I'm going to be honest. It'll probably be very fun, but yeah. I don't want to see either.
But it's going to happen, so I'm just going to answer. Loomis will take that title because Loomis was going to win it.
Yeah.
And then he broke his ankle doing a stupid thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because that was dumb. It was unnecessary for that gigantic man.
And it didn't even look good on TV.
No, it looked horrible because he broke his fucking ankle.
Yeah, I know.
But that title was going to be his, not going to lie. And I would like to see, if he was to do it, just do it. But I don't know where Johnny goes. I don't know where Kushida goes now.
That was going to be my next question. Where do you think Kushida goes?
I have absolutely no idea.
What would you do with him next?
What would I would do with him?
Yeah.
I would.
See, people will view this as a demotion, but he's the greatest junior heavyweight in modern New Japan, like after Liger. I would give him a run with the Santos belt.
You can bring credibility.
And people will view that as a demotion, but...
No, but yeah, but he's like, if you're the best light heavyweight champion in the world, and he is, he's been for 15 years now. He has, an unbelievable match with O'Reilly.
And it seems like they're getting ready to transition Santos to heavyweight because he's facing Cross this Wednesday.
For some reason.
I think they see in Santos what they wanted to see in Andrade. Almost. Yeah.
That's fair.
And it sucks because Andrade is great. Santos is great too.
Yeah.
But, and Andrade's trying with the English thing, but like Santos speaks fluent English.
Yeah, he's good. He's very good. But you're right. That's a good way to put it. They see in him what they thought Andrade was going to be.
And what they thought Angel was going to be. And although
Angel gets on TV a lot.
He does, but he's kind of the Miz and Morrison's geek. Like, Morrison was Miz's geek, and now Garza is Morrison's geek. It's like the hierarchy. And unfortunately, Garza's at the bottom of that pyramid.
But that can come out of, he'd come out of there.
Yeah, too. Oh yeah. You're never...
Like, I think he'll be okay.
Fuck, Jinder Mahal went from jobbing for years as a WWE champion. Yeah. I mean, never say never in the World Wrestling
Federation. He's no Sheamus, but he's good.
All right, men's Dusty Rhodes Classic Tag Team Final, where the winners receive a future NXT Tag Team title shot. So, this is kind of... this. Do you know when the last time the NXT Tag Titles were defended on TakeOver?
It wasn't New York, was it?
It was the Broserweights beating Fish and O'Reilly all the way back in Portland.
Jesus Christ, so...
Over a year at this point.
Yeah, fuck. God. Well, good that they're back on in this match.
Well, they're not back on yet. We got to see when they're going to do this tag title match.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I thought this was a tag title match. I was wrong. This match kicked ass.
This match was awesome.
This match kicked ass.
We talked about soccer last week. How much heel heat did the grizzled young vets get with you for wearing those scarves?
Not as much points as the Beatles references. So that kind of weighs it off.
I mean, one of their moves is called Helter Skelter.
Yes, and Ticket to Mayhem.
And Ticket to Mayhem, that's true, yeah.
So it's...
But it was MSK.
I saw a tweet, and I want to know if you, you know, what your response to it is.
Okay.
And it was some marker who will go unnamed.
Is this a problem? Do I know this individual?
Nah, maybe.
Okay.
There's nobody you know.
None of the usual suspects.
Okay. And it said the grizzled young vets are what everybody thought the revival was going to be.
Ooh.
And I kind of agreed.
See, I don't think it's fair to say that until they get to Raw or SmackDown.
That's a completely fair answer.
Because the Revival were
gods.
Booked great in NXT.
Gods.
Yeah. And Grizzle, and then they just got to, but that's like the thing, like everyone shits on WWE's tag team wrestling, and WWE's proven in NXT that they could have great tag team wrestling.
One of the best tag matches I've ever seen was Ricochet and Black versus the Raiders in New York. It opened the show.
Yeah.
It was the best match of that weekend.
And another great opener that we saw at a takeover, Mustache Mountain and Undisputed Era, used to rave over that match.
I love that match.
Yeah.
That's when Trent Seven decided he was a vegan.
the things that stick to you.
No, that match was awesome. And I love NXT because they are known. Like, go back and watch takeovers, and I think I guarantee the overwhelming majority of them open with a tag match.
And it's just the senile old man that's in charge of Raw and SmackDown.
Just doesn't see
hates it. Tag team wrestling, and yeah. I don't know why.
I don't know either.
So, like, WWE could have great tag team wrestling.
I love tag team wrestling.
Yeah.
So does most wrestling fans.
But then, like, we got Ivar out with injury, and he does nothing with Eric while Ivar's out. So, yeah. Like, for a guy that hates tag team wrestling so much...
He loves people only in tag
teams. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Or he loves people only in tag teams, or nobody that would ever team together in tag teams.
Oh, he loves the Strange Bedfellows. It's fuck, that's what's going on with the women's tag titles. They're all Strange Bedfellows.
Yeah. But maybe not anymore after they had this match.
Hopefully. Hopefully Dakota and Raquel.
Yeah.
Although... Are they baby faces now? I know we're going back to the first match.
I don't think so.
But, well, you didn't watch the go on WWE Network's Twitter and watch the post-match promo and tell me they aren't baby faces.
Okay, I'll do it offset.
And they got heats on Dakota, and then Raquel made a hot tag.
Maybe they wanted the Raquel hot tag?
I think they did, because it was a great hot tag.
Yeah, it was good.
Speaking of hot tags, when we get to Wesley's hot tag, I'm going to rave over it. But we got, finally, we'll talk about this match. We got MSK... Nash Carter and Wesley taking on my favorite name for a tag team in wrestling history.
It's phenomenal.
The Grizzle. How are you young and a veteran?
Yes, it's outstanding.
Grizzled Young Veterans.
How are you young and grizzled?
It's just perfect.
And they're a very good tag team.
James Drake and Zach Gibson.
And I take my shoes off because I hate Zach Gibson.
Liverpool's number one.
They're phenomenal.
Yeah. This match is great. Second year in a row, GYV got to the finals of the Dusty Classic. Last year, they lost to the Broserweights. This year they're taking on MSK, and Nash and Wes were flying around. They did the what do you how do you feel about the push off moonsault? Because it's a very polarizing move.
I don't know how I feel about it. I would like to abstain from making a comment.
I did think it was super impressive how he had to go over Gibson to get to.
That one looked great, but it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Like, if you want to break it down, if you want to break down the physics of the move, it doesn't make sense on why he needs to, like, push someone. It doesn't add any more impact.
But it just
looks good. Like, in theory, it would add velocity, but...
Yeah. But it just looks good.
Yeah, it does. It's a cool spot.
Yes.
The kids love spots these days.
And then the one that went out to the outside of the ring was great.
Yeah.
Oh, also didn't talk about Ember went splat.
Ember did go splat.
We were talking earlier.
Wesley hit a great Sasuke special. His hot tag was ridiculous. He came in like a fucking house of fire. I thought it was funny how Grizzly Young Vets kind of pulled a revival in the Bucks match. How they were shitting on flips before the match. But then James Drake hit a 450 splash. Just like Cash Wheeler did in the Bucks match. Except this one wasn't the finish and didn't cost them. But eventually MSK hit their tag finish. Which, that's the one thing I'd say. I wish they had a little bit more impactful tag finish. It's kind of like a heart attack with a. It's like a heart attack blockbuster.
Yes, much better than the blockbuster is much better than heart attack.
But I just wish they had a little bit more impactful tag finish. But it gets the job done.
It could get there.
Yeah, MSK. They just got here 4 weeks ago, and they already got the rocket strapped to them.
To the moon. It seems like Triple H is in love with them.
Yeah, and he takes subtle digs at Trey Miguel, and it's so weird.
Something happened there.
They clearly offered him a deal, and he spurned them for whatever. He had his reasons, whatever reasons, and I don't know. It's just the whole thing's weird. And it's also weird how, like, certain people, it takes ages for them to get on TV after they sign, and these guys got here 4 weeks ago, and they're already on a takeover and
have a tag team championship
match. Winning the Dusty Cup. Yeah.
But good for them. I think they had a win.
Yeah. Oh, it was the right decision. GYV, they can take a loss. Yeah. They'll be fine.
And then it sets up later if they win the belts.
I think that's what's going to happen. I think MSK is going to win the belts, and that's going to be the first feud.
Good. That match ruled.
Yeah. Oni and Danny versus MSK will be an interesting styles clash.
But I think Oni and Danny can do it.
Yeah. No doubt. Up next, triple threat match for the NXT Women's Championship. I got tag team wrestling on the mind. This only went 12 minutes and 13 seconds.
Very weird. A lot happened. A lot happened in that 12 minutes.
Io Shirai. Putting
the table just falling over.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. Tony Storm was, like, lost. She didn't know what to do.
Well, I don't blame her.
She literally just wiped the monitors off, and it just collapsed. And it's like, oh, shit. And it looks like Mercedes got hurt at the end, but then Triple H said they got out of the show injury free, so I guess she was just selling. But it looked like she fucked up her knee. And I thought maybe that's why they went home early, because the finish was kind of abrupt and out of nowhere. Yeah, like, this whole match was just strange. It wasn't a bad match.
No, it's not what anybody expected this match to be.
Yeah, it was just kind of bleh.
Yeah, I don't know. It was 12 minutes, which you said they gave him 20, but they didn't use it all.
Yeah, so Triple H was asked about this in the post-match conference call. And he said they were given 20 minutes, but they decided to go home after 12. And he didn't say it was because anyone was hurt. He just said they decided to go home after 12.
Unless they were trying to figure out. Well, you want to know what could happen?
What?
I bet they didn't know they were doing the post-match or the main event.
They had to know.
Yeah?
They had to know. I don't think that's something you just, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. It's just weird. It's
and
12
they're,
minutes.
They're on their own network. It's not like they... It's not like they have to be off the...
I don't know why this only went 12 minutes. I don't know.
It's just...
Unless they got lost in the time. I don't know.
Yeah. Especially, like, knowing they were given 20 and just said, fuck those last 8 minutes. I don't know. It's weird. But, yeah. I think the most memorable moment everyone will be talking about from this match is Toni Storm was setting up to put Io through the announce table, and it just kind of collapsed without anyone even going near it. It's weird because Randy Orton will, like, throw the things 12 feet in the air and back suplex them on the announce table and it won't break. But then a gust of air went by it. Although, to be fair, if I was standing in front of Toni Storm, I'd probably collapse too.
Yes, I would. I would absolutely.
Yeah. So, I get it.
I'd love to see her on my monitors.
Jesus Christ. And then the main event. Finn Balor taking on Pete Dunne for the NXT Championship of the World. I like this match a lot. Very different from everything else in the show.
That was going to be my thing. A wrestling match.
Yeah. This was Fit Finley.
This was grappling.
This was Fit Finley versus Steve Regal in Birmingham in 1992.
Yes. That's exactly
that's
what this was. A lot of joint manipulation.
World of Sport and ITV.
Finn continues to look amazing with this belt.
Lots of stomps. Pete Dunne was stomping on fingers. Finn Balor was stomping on chests.
Which I still don't understand.
Yeah, that move looks like it kills you.
This match, I gotta say, it was not too long. 25 minutes was perfect.
Finn Balor kicked out of the bitter end, which has been a very protected move.
Loved that near fall.
Yeah, that was
loved.
That was the example of a false finish that worked.
Yes, I loved the near fall because I thought he had it.
Yeah,
I thought he absolutely had it.
Eventually, Finn Balor hit the coup de grace and then followed it up with the 1916, which is another super protected move. Although, no move is more protected than the End of Days. And I'm not against it. It's just weird.
Yeah, it's a weird...
Like, why is Baron Corbin's finish...
I mean, nobody's ever really kicked out of the coup de grace other than Lesnar, either.
Lesnar didn't even really kick out. He just grabbed his arm and Kimura'd him. I mean, I guess that's technically kicking out, but, like... It's not even like he really kicked out. He just fucking grabbed his arm and...
But, no, yeah, nobody really kicked out of that move, either. Finn's been protected to hell in all of his time here.
Yeah. And I don't think anyone's kicked out of the 1916. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Adam Cole did when they had their ridiculous match. But I know he fucking hit him with one from the top rope, which I don't know how he's alive.
But yeah, I don't know.
But speaking of Adam Cole, let's get to the post-match. Pete Dunne, Danny Burch, and Oney Lorcan.
Very good.
Okay.
Cracking my wrist.
Oh. You're like tomahawk chopping.
I know. Sorry.
Pete Dunne, Danny Burch, and Oney Lorcan attack Finn Balor after the bell. Undisputed Era make the save. They all stand there, do their Undisputed Era pose, and Finn Balor actually joins them when Adam Cole proceeds to take his head off. And then Kyle O'Reilly gets in Adam Cole's face. And then I don't know if Adam Cole meant to do this, but if he did, it was great storytelling. He didn't super kick him in the face. He super kicked him right in the heart on Valentine's Day. He broke Kyle O'Reilly's heart.
They finally did it.
And then Roderick Strong was left stunned. He didn't know who to go. Adam Cole was yelling at him to leave with him. But Roderick Strong kind of just stood in the ring, staring at O'Reilly, then back at Cole, then at O'Reilly, back at Cole. Roderick Strong played his role great. I think that's the big question going into this. Where does Roddy stand? Where does Rob Fish stand? And, yeah, they did the split. And it's funny because the rumors for months were going to be that Roddy and Bobby were going to be the heels, and Cole and O'Reilly were going to be the baby faces, but I think they made the right decision with O'Reilly being the babyface.
I think that was before O'Reilly had those had the run he had singles-wise.
Yeah.
Because O'Reilly's got babyface written all over him. I don't know where they go with the title now because I was expecting O'Reilly Balor 3. But they're now both cemented babyfaces.
Yeah. Like, so. Finn Balor was a tweener, but this kind of established him as babyface now. And I think this also confirms the theory that Cross is being groomed for the main roster because he's nowhere near this title. Yeah.
And you know what? If he's if that's the plan, keep him away from it.
So, yeah. If you watch the Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole feud in Ring of Honor, you're in for a treat. Those two work really well together. They're great as a team, but they're even better as opponents.
They are good friends and better enemies.
And Kyle O'Reilly is like a natural... I don't want to say he's a natural babyface because he's really good as a heel too, but Kyle O'Reilly has great babyface fire.
Yeah,
and he does. Adam Cole is absolutely better as a heel.
100%.
He could pull out babyface too, but they made the right call with Cole going heel and O'Reilly going babyface. So where do you think Fish and Strong stand? Do you think they're going to... Do you think Fish will stick with his longtime tag partner and Strong go with Cole? You think they'll all stay with O'Reilly? Do you think everyone just kind of goes their separate ways?
I think Fish comes back as Cole's muscle.
Really? So he turns on his longtime partner?
Yeah. And I think Roddy eventually turns on O'Reilly.
So it's still going to be Undisputed Era, just without O'Reilly.
Yeah. But it'll be put back together in different parts. Because got to be close to three. Bobby Fish has got to almost be back.
Yeah, they said about 3 months.
3 months for that truck.
We're in February, happened beginning of December, so I'm sure we're close. It's interesting now also because this gives them flexibility in calling them up to the main roster. Everyone's like, oh, I got to call them up as a group. Well, not a group anymore. So now if you want to call up just O'Reilly and Fish as a tag team, you can do that.
I think it's an interesting story heading into Mania. I've never been more sure of an NXT match being on Mania. Because this is a Mania feud.
That's my biggest takeaway from the show. This felt like a giant reset for NXT, which was much needed. We've been talking about for weeks that something's missing in NXT, and this kind of sparked some new life into it. This not just this angle, the entire show. We got new faces with MSK on top. Johnny Gargano finally broke the takeover curse, defended the title successfully. We have, of course, the giant angle at the end of the show. Kind of feels like NXT's refreshed, which was needed coming off of a really, really shit rating.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And now I'm interested in what they've been in weeks.
You could say what you want about ratings and how much they matter, but there's no way they aren't disappointed with that number, regardless of circumstances.
Yeah.
And, yeah, this just felt like a giant reset that was needed. So I'm intrigued to see what happens on the Black and Yellow brand on Wednesday nights. What were Adam Cole's motives? Was it frustration? Was it heat in the moment? Was it some deep-seated planning? It'll be interesting to see how it goes, and be interesting to see where Finn goes. Maybe they do O'Reilly, Balor, Cole, triple threat. I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
Be interesting to see where Kushida goes from here. We didn't even mention the awesome Cameron Grimes music video.
We'll mention that later on our Cameron Grimes to the Moon video.
Yeah. Grade. What's your grade for NXT TakeOver?
Love them all. A.
I'm going to go A-. The weird women's match knocks it down from an A to an A-, but everything in the show, there was nothing bad on the show.
No, not a single thing. It felt like a TakeOver again.
Yeah. Probably the best pandemic TakeOver.
I don't know. The one with Cole and...
31?
The one with Cole and McAfee.
Oh, 30. See, I didn't like the Keith Lee Cross main event. There was just something about it didn't feel felt.
It never
off.
Clicked.
The ladder match was good in that show.
That's the one where
EO and Dakota was pretty good. 31 I thought was really good too with Balor and
Balor. That's the broken jaw match.
Yeah, and also Candice and EO had a really good match, as did Priest and Gargano.
Yeah,
but I think this one is probably the best takeover of the pandemic era, in my opinion. Everyone's entitled to their own opinions, but. Also, what do you think about NXT kind of taking the setup from AEW and old school WCW with the ramp connected to the ring for these takeovers?
Not bad. I like it.
Fucking Ember Moon went splat on that fucking ramp and
made a good sound.
Yeah, it did.
Oh, she's okay, but it made a good sound.
Yeah.
But That's fine. And that's the NXT TakeOver. I'm looking forward to how they go forward now.
Yeah, coming up next, we'll talk about Elimination Chamber, what we think is going to go down. And I may have some interesting theories. Not Austin theory, but some interesting theories. So stick around. So Elimination Chamber takes place this Sunday from the Thunderdome at Tropicana Field in St. Petersburg, Florida. It is the last pay-per-view on the traditional WWE Network before we enter the Peacock era.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a thing.
So we
what do have... I got to do? Do I just got to call them and...
I don't know. You're asking the wrong guy.
Okay.
Supposedly, everyone's network subscription is automatically going to be converted to a Peacock subscription, but... my mom's already subscribed to Peacock, so I think I'm just going to mooch her account.
But you got to buy the network again, don't you? Or is it just going to be on Peacock?
I think it's just on Peacock.
Because I have a Peacock subscription.
I think it's just on Peacock. If you're in the premium or above tier, you just get it.
See, I get it with my cable box.
Yeah, because you have Xfinity, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I should just get
it? I think you just get it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen, though.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to... I don't know if you're going to have to go... because the Peacock app sucks. It's... awful.
I watch it on my TV.
The Peacock app is worse than... if you think... Peacock app is New Japan World bad.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah. And, like, if you're watching something... because I like the Premier League. I'll watch some Premier League. If you're watching a live event, you can't start from the beginning.
Are we recording?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I had no idea if we were even on.
Do you think I was just talking to you about this shit?
I completely just lost my mind.
No, yeah. We're live.
Oh, pal. My God. I think I just blacked out.
We're live, pal.
Okay. Let me do it again.
We're live, pal. I'm glad you got that. But, yeah, like, if something's live and, like, you show up to it late, you can't start from the beginning. So that sucks.
So, like, that'll have to change for WWE Network.
I hope it will, but...
let me trust the people at NBC on this one. All right.
But anyway, yeah, we'll worry about that for Fastlane.
I just can't believe what just happened. But all right, continue.
The important question is, are you planning the Fastlane feast?
Oh, you have no fucking idea. You can roll out of here looking like me.
And also, I thought I was getting a first 3-chapter review today.
You were, but then I forgot to read it. We'll do it for next week.
Good job.
I realized that this morning. We'll do it next week.
I don't think we announced it anyway. So
no, we did.
I don't think we did.
I did. I absolutely did.
Oh, you did.
I absolutely did.
Oh.
Well. But we will get it. I as soon as I opened the book and said...
yeah, you didn't want to journey into the darkness?
Tony, I opened the book to a random page, and I just said, Glenn has had it with these social workers. And I turned it down. I'm like, I'm not ready for this yet. And then I just
wait till you have to read the next novel where they assemble the super squad containing
Chavo. I'm not. Nope. Not happening. I am not. No. I'm not reading an Eddie Guerrero death comic book.
Dude.
That takes place in the wrong year.
Yeah, that's something.
But I will have 3 chapters done next week.
Good. I can't. I'm excited. So let us start with a singles match for the Raw Women's Championship. Asuka defends against Lacey Evans with Ric Flair. Who you got and why?
Lacey's going to win, but Asuka's going to keep the belt.
There's going to be some Charlotte chicanery.
Yes. Absolutely.
It's alliteration there.
Yes, it is. You love the word chicanery.
I do use that word a lot.
But that's what's going to happen, right?
I use chicanery and copious a lot.
Yeah. Copious is good.
And we had this one teacher in high school, you say ample a lot. And that pissed me off.
I know who that is.
I know you do. But I'm not doxing anyone on our podcast. So, if you know, you know.
I know.
I know you know. But we'll have ample time to give our predictions for Elimination Chamber. Yes. Yeah, I'm going with Asuka retaining as well.
Same way?
I don't know. I really don't know. Ric Flair and Charlotte are probably going to... here's what's going to happen. Ric Flair is going to try and cheat. Charlotte's going to come out. They're going to argue. And it's going to be a distraction roll-up finish.
Oh, God, that favors Lacey.
No, like, Lacey's going to be distracted by Rick and Charlotte arguing.
Okay.
And Asuka's going to roll her up because that's what WWE does.
Yes, they love that finish.
So we're going to save the United States title match for after the WWE title Elimination Chamber.
Because do you think what's going to happen, what I think is going to happen?
Potentially. Okay. So let's go to the SmackDown Elimination Chamber next. So I guess I should kind of explain the backstory of this one, because this one's kind of a
book. Convoluted.
Yeah, this one's kind of convoluted. So Roman Reigns was originally supposed to defend the Universal title in the Elimination Chamber. But then Paul Heyman said that Roman...
God. Son of a bitch. I'm sorry, that was a really stupid move on my part. There's only one way that was going to end, and that's it ended that way.
Paul Heyman clarified that Roman Reigns was only contractually obligated to defend the title at Elimination Chamber, but not in the Elimination Chamber. So he said that he would defend his title immediately after the Chamber match. And Adam Pearce determined that Jey Uso and Kevin Owens deserved automatic qualification, but not Shinsuke Nakamura, who literally should have won a gauntlet match, but then Adam Pearce got inserted into it.
Is Pearce in the back pocket?
No, what happens was Cesaro signed that new deal. That's what happened.
Shinsuke's like, all right, Claudio, I'll do this once. You go home and you sign that fucking contract.
They're paying you how much?
He goes, you go home and you sign this contract, and I will not take another bump until SummerSlam.
So then they had tag team matches to determine who would qualify for the rest of this chamber thing. So Corbin and Sami Zayn defeated the Mysterios. I thought for a second we were gonna get Elimination Chamber Big Match Dom. And I was
He's done everything else. That wouldn't be surprising.
And then Cesaro and Bryan defeated Ziggler and Rude in the main event, and I knew exactly which way that one was going. So
greatest wrestler of all time? Or Dolph Ziggler.
So you'll appreciate this. I forget what website it was on, but someone did an interview with Dolph Ziggler, and they're like, how long do you see yourself sticking around in WWE? And he said, well, they want me here for the next 10 years.
He'll be 50.
They just won't let that poor guy go.
He will have 6 more tag team championship runs.
With the most random partners.
And no comedy special. Him and Grimes are wolfing the tag team.
That sounds like a dream. So, with all that being said, we have Jey Uso versus Kevin Owens versus King Corbin versus Sami Zayn versus Cesaro versus Daniel Bryan. Who you got and why?
Kevin Owens, because Kevin Owens.
See, this is the thing, man.
But like, I have absolutely no idea who's going to win this match.
I'm torn on this because we know whoever's winning is being sent to the gods.
Yeah.
Like, no questions asked. So, like, Cesaro's on the roll of his career. But would winning this be a positive or a negative? You know what I mean? Because on one hand, he's beating... I was going to say 5 main eventers, but I don't think they see Zayn as a main eventer.
I mean...
Jey Uso is a quasi-main eventer. I think Owens and Daniel Bryan are definitely main eventers. Zayn's
definitely upper mid.
Yeah. But Cesaro's upper mid already. Yeah. So, like, it wouldn't... But then he would get sent to the gods by Roman Reigns, but he also would have already gotten through an elimination chamber. So, like, I don't know if the positives outweigh the negatives there, or is it...
Do you think it can be done right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I guess my thing is Cesaro's on such a roll, is it worth it for him to take a pin? But I guess he's taking a pin no matter what.
But yeah,
he's either getting pinned in the chamber or pinned by Roman.
So wouldn't you rather pick up a win? In, like, a staple match?
See, I don't know. It depends how they book the Roman match following it.
I don't think this is going to go down exactly how this is going to go down.
Kevin Owens is probably going to win and get destroyed again. Yeah. That's probably what's going to happen.
I'm going Kevin Owens.
Although, I know you didn't watch SmackDown, but Kevin Owens came at the end of the show like he was fucking Stone Cold Steve Austin and stunned everybody. And it pissed me off so much, because this guy has been getting beat up for weeks, and all of a sudden he's Stone Cold Steve Austin now.
Yeah.
It got me upset.
Yeah, I did not watch SmackDown this week.
But
I'm going Kevin Owens.
You and a lot of other people.
Yeah, Jesus.
I'm gonna go Big Swiss.
I hope it happens, and I think they could do whatever's happening that next match, right? Because let's predict that match right now. Roman's winning.
Yeah. I don't think anyone's gonna say otherwise.
Yeah. You're going Big Swiss.
I'm going to go Big Swiss, so we're going to see how deep Daniel Bryan's creative influence really is.
Because you'll know then.
Yeah. But then my thing is, what's the follow-up?
Because what do they do for Mania? What do they do for Fastlane?
Well, Edge is the main... They're going to drag this Edge thing out until after Fastlane, and it's going to be unbearable. But I don't know what they do at Fastlane. Maybe Cesaro gets a fair one-on-one match at Fastlane and loses again.
Or Bryan fights for him.
or Brian fight or Nakamura fights for him.
Yeah, fucking right. Nakamura wants to spot with Roman right after this match. And he just doesn't have to go through. He's like, I'm not getting no fucking pod unless it's on a surfboard.
They're going to put him in the match, but he demanded double pay for two matches, and they said no. So, well, fuck you then.
He wants double pay and 3 months off.
He said, you know how good the surf is this time of year.
The beach is that way.
I'm going to go Shaka Bra and catch some gnarly waves.
But yes, Kevin Owens. And then Roman Reigns.
Yes.
You're going Swiss and then Roman Reigns?
I'm going to go Swiss and then Roman Reigns. I think we could... See, I think Cesaro, Bryan, Uso, and Owens all have a realistic shot. I think Corbin and Zayn have absolutely zero chance.
Corbin might.
I don't think they do heel versus heel. And I know Jey Uso is a heel, but I could see them going back to that story. But I don't think Jey Uso... See, I think Jey Uso is going to get Kevin Owens eliminated in some convoluted way. And okay. That's how Kevin Owens is going to get fucked.
Okay, that makes sense.
And it's going to come down to Corbin and Cesaro, and everyone's going to be scared that Corbin's going to win, but Big Swiss is going to pull it out.
That's very possible.
I'm inside the head of Vince McMahon.
I'm sorry.
I know, it's a lot of dementia. A lot of dementia. Okay, so up next we have the least exciting Elimination Chamber match of all time, barring the Extreme Elimination Chamber and the first Tag Team Elimination Chamber. Although El Torito was on top of a pod for that one.
He was.
So we have Drew McIntyre defending against AJ Styles, Randy Orton, Sheamus, The Miz, and Jeff Hardy. So I could pick apart everyone in this fucking match.
Let's hear it.
He's already beaten The Miz. He's already beaten AJ Styles. He's beaten Randy Orton multiple times. And Jeff Hardy being in this match is like the NFC East getting a playoff spot. They needed a fucking former champion, and this is all they had. So Jeff Hardy's in here by default. I would have... See, what they should have done is... So what's going on with Kofi right now? He's feuding with Ali because Ali believes Kofi took his spot, right? So here's what you do. Kofi's a former WWE champion. He meets the criteria. So you put Kofi in the match, and you have Ali take him out and get his fucking spot back.
That's what they should do, but they're not going to do that.
But they don't care enough about that feud because they think Ali's a geek, and Kofi got his run, and he should be grateful for it in their eyes.
Yes.
But they are just stalling for time with Drew because they want people to still think that Edge might pick him. And Sheamus isn't going to be the Mania match for Drew.
Sheamus would be a fascinating match.
The Mania match for Drew is going to be Bobby Headband. He is the only feasible challenger for Drew McIntyre. The last time Bobby Headband lost a match by pinfall or submission was at Backlash against Drew McIntyre. And he's held the U.S. title. He's had a good run with it. But at this point, it's an albatross. He can't do anything with it. So they got him in a three-way with Keith Lee and Riddle. Which is a perfect way.
So I'll just say you're going Drew in the chamber?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I think that's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Which is a perfect way to get this title off of Lashley without him taking the pin. And it's gonna happen via a Keith Lee heel turn on his good buddy Riddle.
Yeah.
So we're gonna accomplish a lot here.
Do you think Keith Lee is gonna take a spot in the business?
No. I don't think he fits the aesthetic.
I mean, he needs a mouthpiece.
I agree with that, but I don't see Keith Lee as, like, a tailored suit, high fashion guy. You know what I mean?
I mean, if he's going to turn heel, that'd make him hated.
But see, Keith... Is it just me, or is Keith Lee's whole gimmick already a heel gimmick? Like, the bask in my glory, the way he cuts his pro... He won't have to change anything.
No, but he's a mouthpiece.
The way he talks, like... The way he cuts his drawn-out, dive-tried promos.
And yes, and I, Keith Lee, that kind of shit.
And the vernacular he uses. Like, everything about it already screams heel.
He needs a mouthpiece, manager.
So, I don't think he's going to join the Hurt Business.
But Keith Lee will win this match. I agree too.
I think Keith Lee's going to... And then Riddle and Keith Lee feud for the U.S. title heading into Mania. And then Lashley somehow gets the number one contendership... And we got Drew and Lashley at Mania, and I think that'd be a good little matchup.
Yeah, Lashley, I have to say, I'm more interested in Lashley now than I ever was when he was here the first time.
Yeah. Putting him with MVP and then adding Seti and Shelton was just career revitalization.
Yes. MVP really made Bobby Lashley. And because he's just great now. He's so good. He's credible. He has credibility now that he never had his first run.
So now the major question is, do you think the Hurt Business will still be together by the time Mania rolls around? Because they've been teasing dissension for what feels like months.
I don't know.
Like, Shelton and Cedric are tag team champions that hate each other, so they fit in perfectly with the mold. MVP's just trying to keep the peace. And he's been successful thus far, but I don't know. But I'm scared. If Hurt Business breaks up, what do Cedric and Shelton do? They probably go back to catering.
Yeah.
And that's...
Or Shelton goes down and trains at the fucking performance center.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's gonna... Who else... Like, but who hasn't Drew beat on Raw that's viable?
No, yeah, besides... There's nobody for Drew.
It has to be Lashley,
the
right?
Fiend? I don't know, but
Fiend and Orton is mania bound.
Unless Orton gets his title off him and they're doing Orton and Edge.
Oh, God. You know what? That's not out of the realm of possibility, and that really sucks.
Yeah, actually, I don't want to see it again.
I just don't know where else they'd go. So I think we end up with Roman and Edge, Drew and Bobby, and I think we might get KOR, Cole, and Balor at Mania as well, because we were talking about this last week. They're discussing an NXT title match at Mania.
I mean, that's three good matches.
So... Somehow Sheamus gets fucked at the Chamber. I guess he'll get his match at Fastlane. Drew will mow through. Because people seem to think Sheamus is the Mania match. And, like, no disrespect to Sheamus, but I doesn't do anything.
No, that's not a WrestleMania match.
And then Miz still has his fucking briefcase, which is...
Terrifying.
I don't know what's going on with that.
Terrifying.
But he's wrapped up in a feud. Is Bad Bunny going to screw the Miz at Elimination Chamber? Although Bad Bunny's...
Is Miz going to enter this fucking match twice and cash in?
I didn't even think of that. Then again, Bad Bunny's on SNL Saturday night, so I don't know if he'll be a chamber.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I have no idea. I guess we'll find out. Yeah. How excited are you? Because I'm not.
I think I just kind of talked myself into being excited.
Yeah, no, there's a lot they could do, but it's just so much... It's just an unnecessary show.
I don't mind this one. I'm dreading Fastlane.
I would want this one to be Fastlane.
That's fair. Yeah. No, that's fair.
You know what I'm saying? I'm dreading Fastlane more, but it makes me hate both of them. That both of them exist.
No, that's fair.
But I'm sure the show will be fine. They haven't really had a bad pandemic era show.
Besides Raw every Monday and NXT a lot of Wednesdays.
Pay-per-view.
That's not what you said.
They haven't had a bad pandemic pay-per-view.
But then again, the pay-per-views that we all think will suck, like, I remember Payback. We were fucking dreading Payback.
They had 11 days of build for it.
Not even. It was a week after SummerSlam.
Yeah.
It's seven.
Yeah. And Payback was the best one.
Yeah. Like, fucking, Payback was, like, a good show out of nowhere.
They can always pull off a good show. They don't have the talent to do it. But it's just, I'm excited in the fact that I'll watch it and probably enjoy it, but. Right now, I'm dreading watching it.
Yeah.
And nothing to do with the quality of it or anything, but it's just I don't want to watch on the wrestling pay-per-view.
I mean...
But it should be good, and I'm and I'm excited.
I mean, football's over. What else are we going to watch? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
It's kind of...
I think it's, what, Austin next week for NASCAR?
Daytona Road Course.
Oh, the road course.
Yeah.
The first time, right?
Second time. They ran it last year in the pandemic, but... Yeah, so... That's Chamber. I guess my excitement is like a 7 out of 10, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, they have the Payback was scheduled for this year, Philly.
Really?
Yeah.
You hate to see it.
Yeah.
So they're going to get Chamber and Payback? That's kind of odd.
Yeah, but yeah, I think there was a red X in it, and that one might have been canceled. They might have bumped it up to last year. But yeah, they had that awesome Cruz and Bobby match on Payback.
Yeah, the Mysterios.
Big E and Sheamus was great.
Didn't Corbin and Riddle have, like, a really fun match? Is that
Corbin
show?
And Riddle had a good match.
Keith Lee, like, squashed Orton.
Yeah, that was... Remember, we had a lot of fun talking about that.
The Mysterios and Murphy and Rollins is good.
And Roman defeated Bray.
Yeah, the ring collapse.
Yeah.
Part 4.
Mm-hmm. But, well, that's it for this week.
Yeah.
And we will see you next week with a review of an Elimination Chamber and hopefully nothing to preview.
No, I think this is an off week because, yeah... Because then the Sunday after that would be the 28th, and then we'll have the 7th, which is Revolution.
Revolution is a mystery.
Full change that no one sees.
See you next week.